And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear.
What up, everybody?
And this week, we are back covering The Office. We're talking about Season 8, Episode 7, Pam's Replacement, and Season 8, Episode 8, Gettysburg. All right.
Kevin is struggling.
I am struggling. I'm all over the place like a wet shit. But anyway, before we talk about these episodes this week, Mare Bear, do you happen to have last week's episodes so we can talk about them?
Oh, I think I could pull those up, my dude.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, last week we talked about Spooked, which was their Halloween episode, where Andy scared the shit out of Erin by thinking he was going to fire her, so she tried to make the Halloween party spooky.
An adult. What was it? Pock cards or whatever?
Oh, no.
Pecker poker. Pecker poker, yeah.
The game of cards that get you hard. Robert California comes and crashes the party with his son, Bert, who, of course, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he gets in with Dwight. Like, he totally is enamored with Dwight.
Yeah, like, he's, like, looks up to him like a big brother. Yeah. Dwight respects the kid. Because they, like, watch the same
sci-fi
show.
Because they think that box jellyfish are the most dangerous animals in the world. So Erin fucks up the whole party by letting Gabe come in and tell her what's scary. And it's just more disturbing than scary. But at the end of the day, Andy just wanted to tell her that he was in a relationship with a woman.
Yep.
Went on 31 dates with her. And he's not available to her anymore.
Yep.
And then, in the next episode, Doomsday, let's see.
There's too many mistakes for Robert California. So Andy wants to be more on the nose about stuff. And he gets Dwight. He trusts Dwight.
Big mistake.
Who institutes a Doomsday device that sends a email to Robert California. Basically, everybody would lose their jobs if they got five mistakes.
Yeah, after five... Well, on Kevin's favorite clip show episode, The Banker, the consultant basically wrote up a whole thing about how they should close the Scranton branch, which makes no sense because it was the only profitable branch
Just shutter everything.
Yeah, he was like, fuck
buy
these
it for the
people.
Liquidate the assets...
Fire everybody. Yeah. Yeah, just do what it is. But, so anyway, we see Nate for a hot second. Let's see, that's basically the best part of the whole thing was that Nate was there. Oh, and then they go to try to convince Dwight to shut it down.
Yeah.
And after Pam admits to being human and having faults, Dwight understands what she means.
Yeah.
And he shuts down the device.
He actually likes having them as friends, even if he won't admit it.
And they had cabbage pie.
I love cabbage rolls. So, as a fan of Polish food, I love cabbage.
And that's what we missed last week.
All right. So, that brings us to episode 8.
Season 8, episode 7, Pam's Replacement.
Pam's Replacement. I'll get it there right. You go. All right. So, the cold open, Andy is telling Erin that he has a very, he has
important
a meeting with a client.
Meeting, yeah.
And he wants Erin to call in with a fake phone call that he can turn down to make the client feel like he's important. So,
basically,
she does.
Long story short, Erin takes a very simple task and fucks it up.
Yeah, she goes in there and tells Andy his mom died, that he needs to take the call.
Like,
and of course, Andy's like, this got too real. And then Dwight comes in, giving his condolences, and winks at the camera, he's part of it. And then Andy picks up the phone, and it's Daryl. Hey, yo, the karma's gonna catch up with you, Andy. You shouldn't do this.
Like, this is a bad idea, Andy.
And Andy's,
her last words were, make that sale.
Yeah, he, like, totally buries it like that. And the client at that point realizes, like, okay, this is a weird production.
Dude, what the fuck? Like, how do you take such a simple task and take it that fucking far?
Erin, man.
You have to be a moron.
I like Erin.
Fuck Erin.
So that's the cold open. And the show proper opens now, and we meet Kathy, who is a temp. Who will be taking Pam's job when she goes on maternity leave.
It's basically Pam from 10 years ago.
Old Pam.
Yeah.
So Pam sits in her chair and it squeaks and everybody's like looking like, ooh, she's getting hefty. 9 months preggers.
Poor Pam.
But she does a talking head where she talks about how she's training the temp. She's training the temp for maternity leave. And as she's sitting there for the talking head, the chair squeaks again.
Because
she's fat. Ryan
Poor
asks...
Poor Prego Pam.
Ryan asks Jim if she's single. Jim answers with, doubt it. And Ryan goes, yeah, you're right. And Pam jumps on it, like, oh, you doubt it? Why do you doubt it, Jim? Like, total insecure.
Yep.
Insecurity here. Andy takes lunch to Daryl, and he's like, hey, we're going to go jam in the warehouse. And Daryl says, was Kevin here? And we see Kevin with chicken wings drumming on it like a takeout container. So, in the break room, everyone is in there talking about Kathy. This is hilarious. This is the scene of the show.
God.
Where they're talking about her, and Gabe, they said about, Ryan says, oh, word on the street is she has a boyfriend. And Gabe says, he's probably a drug dealer. You know, that's how they get the hot girlfriends, get them addicted to blow. And he like,
my plays God. With them.
I'm like, this is so dark and cynical. I fucking love it. But they all start talking about how it's, and I have the quote,
like, refreshing.
To have a healthy, young, fit presence in the office.
Oh my God.
And
Oscar.
Pam, yeah, and Pam is there, like, all self-conscious. And they're like, oh, no. Like, they start kissing her ass. Like,
yeah,
you're
they
glowing.
Do.
You're beautiful. Oh.
She's like, oh, there's just 50 pounds more of me to love. Yeah. Yo, guys.
It's more than 50.
Number one, 50 is so unhealthy for a pregnant woman to, get, like, gain. Mm. Like, they say you're supposed to gain, like, 25 to 30.
She did not gain that
Dude.
Little. She like, really blew up for this pregnancy.
Well, I told my husband, I was like, oh, yeah, our one cousin gained 80 pounds in our first pregnancy. And he's like, what the fuck? That's like double her weight, like her size.
I need
like,
a name on this after the cast. I need a name. But, yeah, so Pam is very hefty and everyone's kissing her ass. And Toby starts talking about, like, you know, not all women get their do for beauty. Like, Helen Mirren is an elderly woman, but she looks great. And they're like, oh, you see that picture of her in the bikini? Which I have. I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
It was a hachi-machi photo there. But
she's in shape.
Basically, at one point, Toby, this is Toby's quote, and it made me realize Michael may have been onto something. The hottest thing ever would be a pregnant Helen Mirren.
Ugh.
And God. Dwight freaks out in the back. He's like, are you people listening to yourself? You're saying the hottest thing in the world would be a 66-year-old pregnant woman. And I just, like, fucking lost it. And, like he's basically just like, you're kowtowing to a pregnant woman to make her feel better. There are objective truths to beauty. Like, he just, like, goes ham. He just doesn't give a shit.
He's like, I can't listen to you idiots anymore.
Then he basically says Helen Mirren was a commie and walks up.
It's fucking, Romanoff.
It's fucking awesome. So, the jam band is down there. Yeah.
Kevin
Andy,
and the Zits.
Yeah, Kevin, Andy, and Daryl. And they're doing a scat song, which we found out Andy had lyrics to the scat
Dear
song.
God.
And Val, the warehouse lead, says, like, hey, you guys are doing good.
Yeah,
like,
sounding good, guys.
And, of course, Kevin's like, screw you! Hilarious. California shows up, though, Robert California. Kevin introduces them as Kevin and the Zits.
Yep.
They're like, no, we never agreed to that. And they invite him because he seems, like, interested.
Yeah.
And he's like, he goes to get his harmonica. He wants to play.
He gets pretty pumped.
So we get talking head of the three of them, and they're all geeked. Of course, Daryl looking like Winnie the Pooh with his paunch out and his arms out his side.
Oh, my God.
His body is hilarious.
Jesus Christ.
But Pam now is asking Jim if he thinks Helen Mirren is attractive. He's like, oh, yeah, she's all right. And then she goes, what about Kathy? And Jim won't, like, he won't admit that he finds her attractive. He's just like, no.
And his talking head does explain it pretty well.
Yeah, he's not going to tell his 9 months pregnant wife that he finds another woman attractive. Like, it doesn't help anybody.
No, and
even
she's
if
about
it's
to
true.
Go on leave, and this woman's going to sit 3 feet away from him.
It's like telling his 2-year-old daughter that violent video games are not fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's not true, and it's not going to help anybody. Like,
Jim is really smart. I'm totally on Team Jim here.
Oh, he's in the right.
He's in the right
Especially
now.
When you see how Pam, like, goes out of control here.
Yeah.
She's, like, really, like, off her rocker.
Yeah.
I know, hormones and all that shit.
Yeah.
But, like, he's smart not to play into it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
He probably learned his lesson from the first time around.
Oh. Well, at this point, Pam sees Kathy on the other side of the room and says, even I want some fries with that shake. Which seems like a very Pam line. You know, she's like 5
she's
years late.
She's almost like vaudeville. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to put some corn in that basket, Jim?
Oh, my God.
So Jim leaves, and Dwight, like, pretty much says, like, she's got large breasts, a small waist, good reproductive organs. Like, he goes through this whole list. And he's like, yeah.
Reproductive age is good.
Of course,
I find her attractive.
The way he talks to Pam goes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But she does a talking head where she says, you know, everybody treats you different when you're pregnant, and it's like everybody rubbing her belly and telling her how pretty she is, and that it like it almost feels like I don't even know like there's a kid who's a little off and everybody tells him how special he is.
Yes,
you know what I mean, like,
yes.
One of those things.
Everybody treats you like you're glass.
Yeah. And so they're doing that, and you know, she's like, Dwight I think is the only one telling me the truth. So
which I do love, like, he's just, well, like,
oh, yeah, that's when ahead. She asks Dwight, am I hot, and what does he say?
Well, you were at your hottest when you were 24, with a gradual slight decline over the years. Oh, God, how...
First pregnancy was a decline,
yeah.
But you bounced back, and now you're at your all-time low.
Yeah, well, he's like, why would I find you attractive? My whole point of being attracted to you would be to get you pregnant, and you're already pregnant. So there's no point in me being attracted to you right now.
And that's when Pam offers him $5 if he can catch Jim lying about it. So we go to the break room. Pam and Dwight are going over the ground rules, and they go to Kelly Kapoor, who tells them about the matchmaker test.
Yep.
Can you explain the matchmaker test?
So the matchmaker test is if I was to go to my husband and say, hey, I have this really pretty friend. Do you have any friends you would set her up with? And if he sets her up with somebody who's, like, really good looking, then that means that he finds her attractive. But if he sets her up with somebody who's, like, average looking or below looking, that means he doesn't really see her.
Have you done this?
No.
I've never had to.
No.
I'm just thinking of some matchups, and it's entertaining in my head. Anyway, so we go down, the jam band is playing, and then all of a sudden other guys show up.
Yeah.
A local musician.
Named Curtis Durow?
Yes, who, fake, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a sportscaster from Channel 7, Go Eagles!
Kevin's like, you do that on TV.
And they, like, take over the guy's instruments and start playing their own song with Robert California. And then a woman with a guitar shows up, who I did some research. It is Linda Taylor from Whose Line Is It Anyway? the two ladies who play the music for the song. Or for music for the songs. Yeah. But anyway. So they start playing, and the three guys are in the back. Andy's, like, trying to find a way to play his acoustic guitar.
And Daryl starts beating his own body.
Yeah, like he starts smacking his body like a drum. Kevin has one of those wooden things that you hit with it's ribbed for your pleasure. And he has
said didgeridoo, but no. I know it's not a didgeridoo.
And you run the stick on it, goes like a washboard. Yeah.
Yep.
And Daryl is enthusiastically playing the tambourine. So Pam asks Jim who he would set Kathy up with. And Jim says, I forget the guy's name. Kevin? It's not Kevin. Jim. I'm going to say it's Jim Jr. So Ryan's like, oh, yeah, how about that guy, Jim? What kind of car does he drive? And Jim's response, not his mom's car. That's awesome.
But I love Ryan. Yeah, his mom's car probably isn't a Nissan X. But meanwhile, Ryan's with Kelly this whole time.
Oh, yeah, the whole time. He's still sniffing around.
Oh, my God.
So Pam, Kelly, and Dwight find this guy on Facebook. And Pam immediately knows that Jim is onto her because he's just ugly enough.
Yep, he's just ugly enough, and they had to go through two layers of friends to find him.
So Jim does a talking head where he says, like, he knew about the matchmaker contest, and, like, he's onto
it. He passed it.
And Kelly's going to write something mean on his wall.
Oh, my God, he's such an uggo.
He should get hair plugs. So Dwight talks about the physical signs of attraction that he can check for Jim on Jim.
Go ahead. I love Dwight's reaction to this guy, though. I think his name was, like, Curtis.
Yeah.
And he goes, he has the broad face of a brewer.
That's a very, very nice quality. So Dwight talks about the physical signs that they can watch, and he brings up increased blood flow to the crotch.
Oh, God.
Now, Val sees Daryl, Andy, and Kevin doing their...
Well, they're on a break.
No. This is... They're playing, and she's, like, walking by actually working.
Yeah.
And Daryl and Andy are up against each other. Andy is beating his body. Daryl's, like, shaking the tambourine. Ugh. They look like idiots.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, that's sad looking.
Well, I'm like, how is Robert California, the CEO, okay with the leader of his office and the leader of his warehouse playing music?
Because he's jamming, man. He's jamming. He's having a good time, bro.
No wonder the branch is like shit and should be knocked down.
It's awesome. So we see Dwight and Pam in a dark corner of the office, a.k.a. behind Creed.
Yes.
Dwight says, we're not here. To which Creed says, who is that? Then Dwight slides him a Toblerone candy. And Creed's quote, how'd I get this long triangle? That killed me. When he did that, I like fucking pissed my pants. It was so awesome. So they're watching Jim and Kathy.
Yeah.
And Jim's making her laugh.
Yeah. And Pam's like, why is she laughing so much?
What's he doing? And so Dwight walks over, pretends to trip, falls down and grabs Jim's dick.
Dude.
You got it. It's a claw. Like, oh, it's like he's doing the iron claw to Jim's junk. Oh, God. And so he's grabbing, and he keeps, like, falling over and grabbing Jim's dick.
Yes.
And it's the only time, I think, in the show's history so far that I've seen Jim get angry.
Yeah.
It's like, Dwight, what the fuck? Like, get off me! Like, he's freaking out. He looks, like, really pissed off. And Dwight goes back to Pam and says, does your husband have very soft erections? Because if not, I just grabbed a very soft penis for no reason. But Pam is stuck on, like, why was she laughing so much?
Yeah, she doesn't even care that her husband was literally...
Jim was, like, assaulted.
Sexually molested.
Yeah, he was just... Like, it's so awesome. He was just sexually assaulted.
Literally.
And so, they talk... We find out that Kathy and Jim were talking about Zoolander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mugatu.
And it was a quote from a deleted scene or some shit.
So they were both right. Then she asks Pam a question about accounting, and she yells, "Oscar, she has a question for you!"
Yeah.
You know, she's getting into that, like, territorial...
I'm not even gonna talk to
yeah,
her.
Territorial wife kind yeah. of thing. And, you know, Jim's like, "What's wrong with you?" And she's like, "Just admit it, Jim." She's pissed that he won't admit that he finds another woman attractive. So...
Well, but you also have to remember, from her perspective, everybody's treating her with kid gloves and like she's glass. Like, she just wants somebody...
And she
her
should
husband,
be.
...husband to be honest with her.
But she should be, because she's obviously insane going with this idea, which yes. she even says is nuts.
True.
Where her, Dwight's going to take her to... Or, yeah, Dwight's going to take them to, like, a drugstore to use the blood check, the
blood pressure
check. And, it, like, that'll tell whether he's lying, whether yeah. the increased blood flow or whatever. Since it's not going to his penis, it's going to his heart, I guess.
Oh, my God.
So, the three guys are down in the warehouse talking about how awesome it is. And Val tells them that she liked them better than listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them feel bad. In the drugstore, they go to the blood pressure machine, and an old guy comes in, and Dwight's...
You're supposed to share the machine. Yeah, oh, I learned that in my 19th century kindergarten.
Oh, Dwight, like, totally punks this guy.
Dude.
It's hilarious. But he keeps complaining, so Jim's like, go ahead, use it. After a baseline question of, Jim, what is your name?
Yeah.
Is Jim Halpert your name, or whatever? That's their baseline question. So the old guy uses it and says, I have a new heart. And that's when Dwight says, oh, nice, Tin Man.
That's awesome.
We see Kevin, Daryl, and Andy. They can't get in to play their instruments anymore, mm-hmm. so they just leave. We get a talking head from the three of them, and they admit they are Kevin and the Zits. I think that's their way of making Kevin feel good.
Yeah.
So the old man leaves. Jim does a talking head where he says he'll tell her when she gets her confidence and body back that she doesn't need to hear it right now, and that today he had feelings for a coworker that he hasn't felt in a very long time.
Yes.
And it's because Dwight grabbed his penis.
Well, he's like, to be fair, he was grabbing my crotch at the time.
Classic. So, basically, Dwight asks him about Kathy, and he goes, you lied about everything, including your name. Everything was between 150 and 159
yeah.
or whatever. And that's when Pam's like, oh my God, you have high blood pressure. Your dad has it. And when's the last time you went to a doctor? Now she becomes a mom.
Yeah. You know? But you know what? I'm sorry, but I have to throw this out there. I don't blame her, because I literally had to call my husband's doctor today to make an appointment for him on a day I knew he would be off, because he hasn't been there in 3 years.
Nah, he's healthy. He's keto.
He still needs to go get a checkup, like,
nah,
once a year.
He drinks butter and eats bone marrow. He's fine. He's gonna
anyway.
Live forever.
Anyway, I understand where Pam's coming
Do
from
you,
with this, because she's like, hey... We have responsibilities. It's not just you and me, dude. Like, you need to be healthy.
Jim
what the
bikes.
Fuck would I do
Jim
without
bikes.
You?
He bikes.
Yeah, well, runners also have heart attacks, so.
Jim Fix.
Jim Fix.
Jim Fix. That's a Dennis Leary stand-up. Anyway. So, we see the band. They're out back. Andy Strumming his guitar. They're singing Peter Frampton. Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby, I love you way.
They're
you know.
Playing drums on a
yeah,
bucket.
Kevin's banging a bucket.
Banging on a trash can.
And the ending is Kevin having a drum off with the newscaster, who is obviously a, like, Neil Peart style
yeah.
drummer. Like, this guy's professional.
Yeah.
And that is it. Yeah. So.
Now, we have to also admit, Dwight finally remembered CeCe's name when he's like, CeCe's toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. Not Pee-Pee.
It's not Pee-Pee.
Pee-Pee Halpert! So, what'd you give this one,
How
Bear?
Is your daughter? Pee-Pee. Is that her name?
Pee-Pee.
I gave this one a 3.4.
I gave it a 3.2. I was okay. not enamored with this episode.
Well, I said the Dwight, Pam, Jim stuff was actually funny. Like,
okay.
Dwight falling onto his crotch and,
yeah.
like, molesting him. That was funny. Jim was right to lie to Pam in this scenario. Sorry, not sorry.
No, he was.
But the music stuff was, like, whatever.
They took three of my favorite characters on the show, Daryl, Kevin, and Robert California.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this fucking sucks.
It just fell flat.
It like, totally did. There was, like, no... I don't know. It was whatever.
Although, if James Spader was playing that harmonica, yo, good for
he was,
you.
He was like Jim
Killing
Belushi
it,
or something.
Yeah.
But,
he was like Blues Traveler.
John Papa. But yeah, so this, yeah, this just... I don't know, the grabbing
the
of the penis...
Stuff just fell flat.
The only things that were funny were the whole scene with the penis grabbing and Creed and the Toblerone.
Yeah.
and the fucking break room with the Helen Mirren shit, where Toby is just like a pregnant Helen Mirren, like he fantasizes about it. Those are like the only things that really caught me. Like
he's also still, I think he's also still in love with Pam, so he's just like kissing up to Prego.
Oh,
Pam.
Is that? Well, they're all doing it. Oscar's doing it, and he's gay. I don't
Oscar's
know.
Oscar's also a smart man, so he knows not to fuck with the pregnant girl.
Also, this one, I haven't been keeping track, admittedly, but this one seemed to be lacking a third storyline, which a lot of the shows do have in A, B, and C.
Yeah.
This one was just Jim, Dwight, Pam, jam band. There was almost nothing aside from the break room that included other people.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I think that's pretty much it, because it was just those guys in the warehouse. Kelly. Nobody was involved. Oh, the Kelly stuff, yeah.
But still, like, that was part of the Jim...
Yeah, so I don't know. It just was like, it wasn't that funny.
It was fine. It was a fine episode, but it just wasn't, like,
It was in Pam's wheelhouse because she's, like, insecure. No, I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's, like, an average episode because it was around Pam.
No, but I'm saying, like, Pam's character in this was, like, how she is.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, new territory, you know what I mean?
Well, she's also 9 months pregnant, and...
You know, I'm waiting for this baby to come. I feel like that one episode of Family Guy, it's like, Bonnie, you've been pregnant for like 8 years. You're going to have the baby or not? Like, I feel like it's been forever already.
It's only been since the beginning of the season.
I know, but it feels like forever. I don't know why. It just feels so much longer. Because she's looked so huge for like so long now. Oh, and we're like 2 months into the season.
Well, she's at the end of her pregnancy. That's when everybody looks the biggest.
I don't know. It's like to the point now where it doesn't even look like she's wearing clothes. It's like they throw afghans on her. You know, like she looks she looks like the bag lady from Home Alone 2.
You're such a douche.
Anyway, I digress. No, this episode just didn't do it for me. And it doesn't get much better with the next one. I'm going to be completely honest. Yeah, it was there. I feel like this was like a... It feels like it was covering a bigger topic, but it didn't do it.
It's not a filler episode because it continues on because Pam does have to go on leave at some point.
Yeah, like it's covering her pregnancy and that, and the jam band, I get. I feel like they just didn't have ideas.
The jam band just fell flat.
It's like writer's block in this week. Yeah. Like, that's what it felt like. Because, like, the writer's block thing was seriously three different segments of them just lingering around while Robert California played.
Yeah.
There was, like, no progress. They just.
And it was the same song that the band kept playing.
It was blues music does. Yeah. Blues music does that.
Yeah.
I like blues music, true. But I can only do it every blue moon because it's just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that probably sounded like a cat right there. Not a harmonica. But anyway. Tell Mary. Tell Mary. Everybody.
Mary. Where you can find us.
Hey, Mary, tell
us. On Twitter at Brosa's Podcast.
I swear to God, I'm not stroked.
We always post our favorite screen grabs there every week for you guys that correlates with our fun episodes. You can also find us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com for longer form email. Dude, if you can get it out, where can they find the cast other than where they're listening to it now?
You can find us anywhere, guys. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Podbean. Anywhere. We are
all
there.
All of them.
You can find us each and every Monday on the Jenny Position podcast feed. If you log on to there, you'll find us as well as other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more. I think you'll enjoy it. They're all good people there, good content. Check them out. Subscribe today. It's all good.
It's a good
You talked about the Twitter, right? So we're going to Twitter. Yeah, so just find us, listen to us, share us with your friends, family, acquaintances, coworkers, neighbors, whomever you feel like sharing with. We would greatly appreciate that.
But more importantly, enjoy, guys.
Absolutely. Now, that takes us right now to Season 8, Episode 8, Gettysburg, Bear.
Yes. All right, guys. So, our cold open is Gabe is running a really boring fucking meeting
typical
about
Gabe
Saber's
shit.
P&P process. And Andy, like, basically is like, listen, I know nobody wants to be here, but we all have to. And you just see Pam go, I'm going to do it. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm in labor. And as they're, like, shuffling out of the room, everybody's like, you just see a montage of any time she wants to get out of something, she just goes, oh, my God, I'm going into labor. And everybody's just like, you guys can't keep doing this. Like, what the fuck?
My favorite was they showed the one clip of Ryan going in to yell at, this is why you're wrong about True Blood.
Yes.
And she just goes, I'm going into labor.
And she takes
and she doesn't do anything. She's just drinking a soda. She doesn't even, like, pretend like it's really happening. She just says it.
And she's like, they just call her out on it. And she's like, oh, yeah, you guys, all right, fine. And then all of a sudden, water comes out. Her water breaks. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, it's happening. Her and Jim are walking out. And then you just see a water bottle with duct tape on it fall out from under her dress.
Her Afghan.
And everybody's just like, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
False alarm.
Yeah. And that's our cold open, which I enjoyed.
Better than the last one.
Yeah. So now Andy is coming out of his office, feigning anger, trying to, like, inspire everybody to, like, get pumped up about work, saying that business is like a war, that there's other rebel paper companies trying to steal their jibs.
This episode, more so than previous ones, he's acts like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, he's channeling the ridiculous side of Michael
this
Scott.
This is total Michael Scott, like, rehash, and it's not as good, of course, because it's Andy fucking Bernard.
So he said, basically, he planned a trip to, a field trip, essentially, to Gettysburg, which is not something you could just drop on people because it's like 2 hours away from
Scranton. Yeah, it's like 2.5, 3 hours. Yeah. It's a hike.
Yeah, it's not, it could be a day trip, but it's not best as a day trip.
If you've ever driven through South Central Pennsylvania, you'll know that it's a desolate wasteland of wilderness and mountains.
Yeah, it's not there's really not much fun.
Once you go south of Harrisburg to Maryland, there's not much there. It's
beautiful
just
mountains.
Oh, it's a beautiful area, but like
there's nothing.
That drive gets interminable after a while because you're like, oh my God, is there going to be a building? Like anything.
Is there human life out here?
Yeah, it's wild, man. Between Pittsburgh and Philly, it is like, well, they always said it's like Alabama between them. It kind of is. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Once you get past State College, it's like...
Oh, State... That is even worse, actually. When you... Okay.
That's a hard drive on 80.
Yeah. Eastern Pennsylvania, you'll have... You got Reading and Allentown, Philadelphia, Scranton. Yeah. Like, Williamsport even is a smaller city out there in the central part. But then once you get to fucking State College, you're like, oh, this is cool. We got Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
There's people. It's like nice. Oh my God, until you get to Ohio, there is nothing. It's
rough, guys.
Like people talk about getting lost in the fucking desert or something. No, drive the 4 hours across western Pennsylvania. It is desolate, especially in winter when there's no leaves on the trees and it's just dead. It's like tundra. Holy shit, it's like a moonscape.
The Amish are there.
Oh, yeah, the Amish are there. Yeah, Amish fudge, man. Pennsylvania
so good.
Dutch. Yeah, that's how they look.
So good. But anyway, we got off topic.
No, we didn't. Yeah, the Amish are cool. Let's talk about the Amish. Because it's going to be better than this fucking
episode.
I hated this episode.
All right, so...
I'm going to be a petulant child.
You are.
I fucking hate it.
You're a history buff, too.
There's no history in this episode.
They go to Gettysburg. And Dwight talks about how Gettysburg is the second most northern battle of the Civil War, which is probably what got under your skin the most.
No, that's fine, because this is comedy. Okay.
But, of course, Oscar corrects him.
Let's talk about Gettysburg. Let's talk about how that was our vacation as kids.
Oh, yeah. The Wax Museum.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to Gettysburg.
We used to climb on cannons.
We got pictures of us.
That's appropriate.
We got pictures of us with, like, the Union hats and riding canyons. Our parents took us to a Civil War battlefield for vacation.
Yep.
Four kids in a car.
Under five.
No. I was, like, eight. Yeah, we were four under eight.
Yeah.
There was a lot of us crammed into one car. They had a fucking cassette tape. Do you remember this?
Yes, the cassette tape tour.
As you can see here, this is Devil's Den. Many Confederates met their maker that day. Like, all this shit. It was just like this guy who sounded like Tom Bosley from fucking Happy Days narrating each fucking scene as you go along. Holy shit.
Which was still more entertaining than Andy Bernard.
Oh my God, Andy. I just don't want to talk about Andy this episode because...
Well, I don't talk about him that much, so...
He's half the episode. All right, this is going to be quick. All right, let's do it.
All right, guys. So, of course, Oscar corrects Dwight and says that Gettysburg is the most northern, but Dwight claims that there was a battle at Shroop Farm, and that it's always conveniently forgotten by historians.
My favorite part is that Oscar actually says, actually!
Yeah, he does. He's the actually guy. So now, Aaron, Phyllis, Oscar, Dwight, Jim, Daryl, Gabe, and Creed...
They all volunteered. Why did Jim volunteer for this?
When his wife is about to go into labor.
Why did Gabe volunteer? Well, I guess Gabe volunteered to keep an eye on Aaron.
Yeah, probably.
But it's just like this random assortment of people who
so
want...
So
Daryl. Why did Daryl go? It's so bizarre.
To get out of work.
It's so...
They got out of work.
But they're traveling three hours in a bus with Andy.
But everybody else stays behind, which I love that they flash back to the office. Meredith has a travel pillow around her neck. She's got her hand down her unbuttoned skirt.
It's very close to the winners and losers on California's list. It's not far off.
So now, as they're getting onto the bus, Andy is handing out these hot pink shirts that say DM does
hats.
GB. Oh, I said shirts. It was hats.
Yes.
Trucker hats.
Yes.
That say DM does GB. And when they get onto the bus, Andy's, like, super pumped, and Daryl's like, oh, I have Limitless on my iPad. I could probably get it to stream to the TV. And, like, Andy, of course, is like, oh, I don't know, we shouldn't do that.
We got Ken Burns Civil War.
Yeah.
Which, another thing that, growing up in this house, you get that sad piano music.
Yep.
With some old southern guy reading a letter. Well, I do declare, Miss Meredith, I am here in Chancellorsville, and I've seen...
I do miss your lady... I do miss your ladyship and your kind company.
I know that when I come home, there shall be a pecan pie sitting on the windowsill, and you shall have the vapors as we roll in the hay in lovely matrimony.
I cannot wait to see the blue of your eyes.
I just picture, like, Foghorn Leghorn. It's like reading these, tender letters from the battlefield.
Well, we actually do get a vision of that later on in the episode.
Yes.
So now, Robert California arrives at the office, and Pam and Kevin are, like, discussing...
Fire pits,
yeah. And nobody's doing anything. Again, we see Meredith, her hand is down, her unbuttoned skirt.
It's the best.
And he's like, hey! And everybody's like, oh, Robert, hi! And basically, Robert then's like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to do this. We're going to brainstorm some new ideas, new innovations, game changers. And I want everybody to take some time, come up with some game changers.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Kevin at his desk, and he's got a Sharpie, like,
taped
to a stapler.
Yep.
And he's trying to sign his name and staple the papers together at the same time. And when it doesn't work, you see him go over to a list and cross out stapler dash marker. Then you see on the rest of the list, number 2 is marker dash phone. Number 3 is phone dash marker.
I love that he's just like melding knife wrench. Yeah. I'm like, it's fucking hilarious.
Number 5 is stairs man. Yeah. And then 6 is human lady, and I couldn't see the rest of it. Which I'm like, human lady?
Human centipede.
The fuck? So now we're on the bus, and they finally arrive at Gettysburg. Andy's, like, super pumped, and everybody's like, yeah, we want to finish Limitless.
They would have finished it on that drive.
Yeah,
especially on a bus going the speed limit, one of those.
Listen, we've driven to Gettysburg. It's not one year that our parents took us to Gettysburg.
Multiple
either,
years.
Guys. It was multiple years in a row, okay?
The Pickett's Charge Buffet, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a long drive, especially when, like, this is the 90s, before there were... anything personalized for the kids to do.
Oh, yeah, there was no...
We had Travel Scrabble.
I don't even think I had a fucking Walkman.
No, we didn't. Thing about it. That's what I mean. Like, it was fucking torture, man.
No, it's like...
Dad's blasting Meatloaf. None of us understand what the fuck it means.
And then on the way home, he's like, so tell me, what's the second article of the Constitution? Like, whoa,
what?
I didn't learn that much. Like, dude, getting tested.
My God. So, let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, Andy is insisting on him performing their tour, and everybody's just like, oh, but we can go in there and
the
get a
nap. Visitor center, yeah.
And he's like, no, fuck you guys, we're doing the tour my way. So then we see Dwight and Aaron all the way at the back of the group, and Dwight's telling Aaron that Gettysburg may have been deadly, but it was nothing compared to the Battle of Shroot Farms in DPA. Deaths per acre.
He's spouting off this propaganda.
And he's like, it was deadlier than Gettysburg. I have the letters to prove it. And Oscar's like, Dwight, you have to stop filling this girl's head with these things.
She'll believe anything you say. Yeah, and I love how she's like, thank you, Oscar.
I would have believed everything he said. But Dwight refuses to stand down. And he's like, listen, mad props to Gettysburg. This is what he actually says.
When Dwight said mad props to Gettysburg, I was like a dog that hears a door. Like, huh?
Right?
he used like a modern colloquialism. Yeah. It's hilarious.
I was dying. But he's like, listen... Battle of Shroot's Farm. It was deadlier, man. It was, like, Gettysburg was nothing compared to that.
Oscar's so bent out of
shape. He is. So now, Robert California is listening to everybody's idea pitches. Ryan is like, sushi. Don't you wish you could go back to 1980 and open the first sushi restaurant in New York City? Well, now you can, because origami is the sushi of paper. And Robert's like, no.
He just shuts it down.
So then Stanley gets up and proposes... Paper for women. It's pink, it's soft, and it's scented. Because did you ever get home after a long day and your woman complained that her paper was too scratchy? Now you get to watch the game and she can write a letter to her sister.
The best part is how it's spelled P-A-P-Y-R.
Yeah, like it's about to say paperous.
Papyra.
Yeah. And Robert's like, no. And he goes, well, in the African-American community. And Robert's like, no. And he goes, that was where
I tried. Stanley has fucking Argyle sweater. Right? Awesome.
So now we're back in Gettysburg, and there's a park ranger that's answering questions. And so then, of course, Dwight asks about the Battle of Shroot Farms. And the guy's like, I'm not familiar with that. He goes, of course not. You're on the federal teat. You're part of the cover up.
Is this when he calls him part of the Gettysburg Industrial Complex? Because yes. that friggin' slayed me. I'm like, that is such a great line.
Yes. So then Andy's like, all right, guys, stop bothering him.
All right, boys, let's go.
Yeah. And so as they're leaving.
The only funny part of this episode.
As they're leaving, this little girl walks up to Gabe and she asks if he's Abraham Lincoln. But apparently he's been asked this multiple times. Like, he's like, it makes it very difficult to go to elementary schools, museums.
Because he's like this tall, skinny,
lanky, pale guy.
The sad face. If he had a beard, he'd be Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, he would. So then the little girl's mom is like, oh, honey, you want a picture with Lincoln? Give him your hat.
Yeah, she has like the top hat.
Yeah. And now people are like, oh, the Lincoln show is about to start.
There's like this amphitheater of people watching.
And Gabe's like, what? No. Oh, all right. And he does a show. He's like, they call me the Emancipation.
The Great Emancipator.
The Great Emancipator.
But you may know me from the Penny. And they're like, oh, she opened with
like
a joke.
He's a comedian here.
He's hilarious.
So now we're in the office, and Pam is proposing those test booklets in schools. If you add a coupon to the back, then they can mail it in to us. And she goes, no, you know what? I don't give a shit, basically. She basically says, like, I'm on summer spring, like, senior spring, like, I don't give a fuck.
She basically says, I'm gonna go take a dump.
Yeah, she's like, I'm calling it in, like, whatever.
I spit my gum on the carpet the other
day. Yeah! So now Kevin suggests that in the vending machine, everybody thinks that the best placement is A1, but really, you should be focusing on the middle. That's the best placement.
D4.
D4.
They should put the chocolate chip cookies there.
Yeah. So, of course, Robert actually thinks that he means to push the top sellers and stop wasting time and resources selling bad products.
He thinks it's a metaphor.
Yeah. And, like, he's like, what is... oh, sorry, that's later. So now, Gabe is still being Lincoln, and he's like... I'm having such a hard time. Let's go to the theater.
No! Yeah, the kids are like, no, don't go. That's fucking hilarious. And he acts like, the way he does the voice, he's just like, I cannot quit my depression.
Yeah, he's like, it's so lonely being me.
He's playing it so perfectly.
So now Kevin is talking about oatmeal cookies and how he's only ever seen Toby eat one once. And that they're basically just terrible. And Robert's like, all right, so what is Dunder Mifflin's oatmeal cookie? So Stanley's like, the two-punch paper. Only lawyers want it, and they use legal pads. And he's like, great job, Kevin.
Yeah, and Stanley's, whose eyes light up, he's just like, why do I try?
Yeah, he's like, fuck this.
This is why I do crosswords.
So now Jim is asking Andy, as they're walking on their tour, about the food. And if they left it on the bus. And Andy is, again, trying to inspire them with a story about flags and how
the guy defended their flag because he had pride, and then he pulls out a Dunder Mifflin flag that he paid $200 for. He starts running around, waving it around, to which Daryl says, yo, that's disrespectful. People died here.
Yeah.
Which is the only funny part of this scene. Yeah. It's shit.
Yeah, basically. And then Andy says that he wants to walk another mile, but everybody's basically tired and they all just sit down.
The way they're splayed on the grass.
Yeah.
Like, Daryl's on his side like he's getting painted like a French woman. Like, Phyllis goes over what she ate for breakfast.
Well, Phyllis is like, all I had for breakfast today was oatmeal, yogurt, coffee, orange juice, and toast. 2 poached eggs and half a sandwich on the bus. But we have to remember, she does have diabetes, so she needs to keep that blood sugar up. Because remember when Stanley got his Dundee?
That's correct. That's correct.
She's like, I have diabetes too, but you don't see me blabbing about
it. Not a bitch about it.
Not bragging about it. Now, and then Andy's like, all right, guys, well, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to assume you're all behind me. I'm not going to look back. Tries to guilt trip them, and nobody fucking moves.
Yep.
So now Robert and Kevin are having coffee at Dwight's Coffee Corner discussing hedge funds. And he's like, oh, as an accountant, when did the black whatever become the only way to make money? And he's like, you're an accountant. And Kevin's like, I am an accountant.
Yes, I am. This is hilarious.
Kevin's just like so confused. He's just like, uh-huh.
He's bullshitting.
So now, back in Gettysburg, Oscar and Dwight are in this museum, a part of the, like, probably mm-hmm. the visitor center.
Yeah.
And Oscar's like, oh, Dwight, I got an archivist. And he brings him over, and Dwight's like, oh, let me guess, another one is going to deny the Battle of Shrewd Farms. And the guy's like, oh, that is an interesting part of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And Oscar's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So now we see he's showing them a video, and it's, like you said, an old-timey, like
Ken Burns, yeah.
Yeah, a Southern
it's got the,
guy.
The fiddle music.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, let me tell you about the story of Shrewd Farms.
Yeah.
Like one of those things.
And basically, it has a letter from a man saying, like, I fear that now I've made it to Shrewd Farms, I will never leave this place alive. And Dwight's like, yeah, it was a rough place. And then the video continues to explain that there was no battle.
That was a code.
Yeah, and that it was actually a sanctuary used by pacifists from both the North and the South who turned it into a, quote, artistic community and refuge from war.
For dandies and dreamers.
Well, there's poets, artists, dancers that preferred peace to war. There's then a photo montage.
Oh, God, it's so good.
The term dandies was thrown in there.
Yeah.
Oscar is, like, completely blown away. And I did get some screenshots.
The naked guy.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Of the group of men painting a naked man while they're all also naked.
Another quote. It was the Underground Railroad for the fabulous. That line slayed me. That was money.
It's amazing. And so now we're back, and Kevin and Robert California are in the break room, and Kevin's going over saying, never trust a cookie with a woman's name. Lorna Doone, Pecan Sandy's, Madeline's, they'll break your heart, man. And then Ryan comes in. So Ryan's been trying to get in good with Robert this whole time.
Yeah, he's been brown-nosing. And he's like, I'm on the moon, man.
Yeah.
That line. You glossed over that part.
And he says he wants to pitch him his Big Mac idea. And Kevin's like, wait, no, that's mine. And he goes, all right, so what's the Big Mac idea then, Kevin? He goes, so every time you get a Big Mac.
No, you, every day.
Every day you get a Big Mac and you put one ingredient to the side. Then at the end of the week, you have a free Big Mac. And it's worth even more because you made it with your own hands. You love it even more.
I cannot adequately describe the face that Robert California makes. Did you get a
Oh my God.
He looks like he just opened the Ark of the Covenant. It is fucking incredible.
Guys, this is the first time he has ever shown anything other than relaxed on
his
face.
Yeah, like confidence. Like there is like a total, like his world has been shattered with this information. And it is such a fucking
highlight. The
realization
of going, like, saying, like, oh my God, Kevin, it was always just about cookies, wasn't it?
Yeah, when he says, it was always cookies, and Kevin's like, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Guys, the look on Robert's face, his eyes get as big as I think James Spader's eyes can get at this point, and it's just fucking amazing.
It's so awesome.
Like, just to see, like, the connections happening, and Ryan's like, yep, you're right, Kevin, that was your idea. Like, didn't know how else to prove it to you, Robert. So now, Jim and Daryl go out and they find Andy trying to fucking sketch a fucking tombstone into paper.
I watched this episode twice.
Okay.
Both times, for this scene, I blacked out. Like, I actually daydreamed.
Oh my God.
Because I just didn't care. And, like, I tried to pay attention. Do you know what this came across as, though?
Hmm.
Like, Andy saying, like, I wanted to be a leader and, like, I want to inspire you guys. Didn't we? This was ground covered 6 episodes ago on the motivation.
Probably.
The motivation episode. Where that's what he wanted, and like they all accepted him. And Jim basically gives him the same speech. You're a good manager. We like working for you. We're wearing these pussy hats right now. Like,
so we'll get in. So he basically like yells at Jim. Because he's like, everything has to be sarcastic and snarky with you, Jim. You have to make fun of everything that everybody else cares about.
Again, another thing Michael has done.
Yeah. And Jim's like, dude, we do like you and we support you. Like, we're wearing your fucking stupid hats, which I've been getting looks all day because I'm pretty sure that DM does GB means something sexual.
Does it?
Which it does.
What's it mean? Let's hear it.
So according to Urban Dictionary, DM does GB means dirty MILF does gangbang.
Awesome. You're welcome, Pornhub, for the influx of guests.
So now they continue, they convince Andy to come back, to walk back, because they're like, Phyllis is sitting on the ground outside the bus eating a dirty sandwich. Because the bus driver locked them out. And Andy's back to normal.
Yeah.
He's on the bus and he's like, Yeah, so I guess I am really just a manager for salesmen.
I'm not a general. Yeah, fuck you, Andy.
But our closing scene is Gabe as Lincoln.
Oh, this is odd.
And he's like, all right, Mary, don't be hush. Like, don't hush me. I'll watch the theater show. And then he does his own hand, a gun coming up.
Slowly. Like it's sneaking up on him. It's so fucking awesome.
And he shoots himself. And his hat flies off, he falls to the ground, he gets up, he takes a bow,
everybody's
applauding, and then he gives the little girl her hat back, puts his pink one on, and runs away.
And he runs so weird, because he's such an odd-shaped human.
He's like a stick bug.
Yeah, and he's like scampering.
Looks like Bigfoot trying to get away.
Gabe was the MVP of this episode.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And I'm going to say this, okay, I gave it a 2.8. 2.8.
Really?
I did not care for half of this episode.
Well, if you just ignored Andy and just
that's
enjoyed...
the focal point of the episode.
No, it's not.
The stuff with Kevin, Gabe, and the Shroot Farm stuff, the build-up was just like, oh, Dwight's blah, blah, blah. But the payoff was great.
Yeah.
Like, the video on that. Like, I just felt like I couldn't go higher than that. Like, I just didn't... The Andy shit was really, like I said, it felt like we did this just a few weeks ago. Where Andy's like, I'm insecure as a manager.
Well, he's always going to be insecure. He sucks.
Yeah, so that character sucks, and it's going to lead to bad episodes, because if that's the only tool in its quiver, and he's the office manager, it's like, oh, it's going to be downhill from here really fast.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, like, just watching it, it's just, this one just didn't work. The shit with the flag, like, I don't know.
That was, like, to me, honestly, that was, like, a minor... Like, for me, Andy didn't take over this episode because any part he was in, it was like, here's 20 seconds of Andy. And I felt like the Shroot Farm stuff was better. I felt like the stuff with Robert and Kevin was better. Like, I give this a 4.1.
Well,
because I actually laughed out loud.
Really?
The Gabe stuff
I thought was great.
Funny.
Yeah. But like,
I thought it was all funny. Honestly, to me, Andy was like such a minute part of this episode.
What?
For me.
She's the reason they're in Gettysburg. I thought the Gettysburg stuff was wasted.
No, he's the reason that they're in Gettysburg, but he also, like, they didn't focus just on him in Gettysburg either, though. Like, because even when he was doing the tour, like, they took him on the tour, you heard him go, oh, and this is whatever... Valley, but then they went right to Dwight and Aaron. Like, you know what I mean?
I guess.
He wasn't a super focal point. He might have been the reason they were there, but the whole story of Gettysburg didn't revolve around him.
I'm looking at my notes, and it takes about a third of the way through till something interesting happens. And that's when Dwight, Aaron, and Oscar are having their debate, and Oscar casually drops Gore Vidal, which is awesome.
I don't know who that is. He's a historian.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Like, this one just didn't work for me. Like, I liked parts of it, but as a whole, I was fairly disappointed.
To each their own.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. Obviously, it wasn't a 5-star episode.
Oh, God. No. That's rarefied air. Come on, that's Todd Packer.
But, like, I really, really enjoyed... like I said, the whole Gabe being Lincoln thing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there really wasn't even that much Jim in this episode.
No, Jim was a straight man for Andy.
Yeah.
That's it. Creed went to Gettysburg and not one scene of Creed in Gettysburg.
That would have been amazing.
How did they mess that up?
Like, he took shrooms and he was trying to fire a cannon or something.
Why is he not trying to, like, fix a cannon or something? Like, something like that. That would have been great.
Steal a cannon, like, loaded onto the van.
Yeah, like, if he tied it and then you see them driving away with it. That would have been cool. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, the Andy
stuff... There was a lot of missed opportunities with Gettysburg, but...
The Andy stuff was so bad, though. Like, I just think, I weigh it, like, that's the main through-line storyline of it, and it just was so bad.
For me, I just, like...
You ignored it.
Yeah, I did.
A 4.1 seems high, but again, you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
out loud when I was watching it.
I enjoyed talking about our times in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual episode.
Listen, Billy Joel, Meatloaf, and then Celine Dion.
Well, in the mid-90s, it was probably definitely Come On Over by Shania Twain was on. That was definitely on.
Oh, yes.
They both liked Shania Twain. But that was like the Twister. Remember she did the video for Twister?
She did.
Yeah, that was like 96 or so. Yeah, so we were all under 10. What?
Be the one you run to. The only one I run to.
Keep going. Keep going.
Good night. All right.
I saw there was a show in Vegas where she rides a horse out and sings that song. They do everything great in Vegas. But so I guess that'll wrap up this week, Bear. What do we have on the docket next week?
So next week we have episode 9, Mrs. California.
Sounds interesting.
In episode 10, Christmas Wishes.
A Christmas episode. That's our second to last Christmas episode.
Yep, it
That's kind of crazy to think about, but holy tits, here we are.
Yeah, yo, we are getting almost halfway through season 8.
Wow.
We're coming down to it, man.
All right, guys, so that leaves us for this week, but as always, you can find us on Twitter, at BroSisPodcast. You will find us talking about the Denver Broncos, music, you know, whatever, the shows.
The XFL when it comes back.
Oh, The Rock is owning it. It's going to be huge. But
The Rock is the savior.
If you have longer form feedback, you can get in touch with us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer any questions, concerns, comments, or suggestions that you do have. And you can find us on any podcasting platform out there, as well as the Ginny Position podcast feed. Subscribe today. You'll find us there each and every Monday, as well as other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, Journey Through Infinity, and more. And I think that about wraps it up for us, Bear.
Yes.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you on down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll be right back.